Yeah, I was just thinking about Rob's, the bit that he read and shared with us. And, you know, we talked, I think it was last week, about the body. And we're all parts of the body. And it's true, no matter how small a church is, if they're standing on his word, seed is going to be spread and we can be part of the body. A little part of the body. But it doesn't matter, all little parts of bodies go to make up all our body. I'm just going to read from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. It's entitled The Armour of God. I'm sure you're well aware of the passage. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, and whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Strong piece of scripture. But as it says, pray earnestly in all occasions. So let's just come to the Lord first, because we need his input. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open up your word to each one of us this morning so that we will be in no doubt as to what each of us needs to take ownership of and act upon if we hope to grow in our faith. Lord, I ask that you use me as your vessel and that you enable me to deliver your message with the power and authority that only you have. Because no one wants to hear from me this morning. We only want to hear from you, Lord. And we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, your one and only Son. Amen. Amen. You know, there's one thing you can be sure of, and it's the title of this morning's message. When you come to the Lord, you are going to be in a battle. So are you battle ready? That's my question to you, each of us here this morning. I'm sure that most of us here this morning realize that once you accept Jesus into your life, it's not going to be an easy ride. You know, it's not like days of old. I remember when you could say to someone you were a Christian and people would respect you and they wouldn't curse in your presence and, you know, they'd be nice to you. But now, they sneer at you. You can be anything but a Christian and you can get peace and people will respect you for your opinions. But when you're speaking for the Lord, the evil one works against you. And it's something that we need to be aware of. The one thing that we can be sure of, that Satan will be on the attack. Should we be surprised? No. Scripture, if you read your scripture, which is important, we've already read, put on the full armor of God, scripture is mentioned. Reading 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. We are warned from Peter. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of struggling. And it's true, we are not on our own. Right throughout the world, Christians are being sort of maligned and devalued. And should we let it get us down? No, I don't think so. I think we should let it build us up, because it points out that we have got something that they're envious of, and that's why they're jealous with us at times and so hard to us, because they see that we have got something that they haven't. But they can have it if they want it, if they just look into Scripture. I don't know about you, but as well as being concerned by that scripture at first reading, it's reassuring to me what Christ said and what every Christian needs to remember, that he promises never to leave us alone. He promises to be with us always to the very end of the age. You know, when you've got a promise like that, and it's a promise that you can rely on. I've been walking with the Lord now longer than I've been married, which is quite a long time. Soon to be 55 years ago when we got married. But in all of that time, he has always been there with us through thick and thin. And we've gone through many times of heartbreak and trouble in our lives. And in their service life, as you know, those who have been in the service, moving around from camp to camp, not knowing where you're going to, the next place, who's going to be there, how you're going to be accepted. But you know what? The Lord has always been with us every step of the way. And I'll tell you, I could go on all day about things that he's done in my life, but I wouldn't have even thought possible. In our reading this morning from Ephesians, the Apostle Paul lists the full armor of God that is available to every Christian to use. But you know, it's all right having equipment readily available to you, but you need to put it on if you want the protection that it offers. You know, if you don't wear it in full, complete, then you leave yourself open to the attacks from the devil. And it won't be a fair fight, because we're reminded there in verse 12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the heavenly realms. Now, if you think you're strong enough to cope with all of that on your own, you're a better man than me. I have no doubt that all of us here are aware that we need to be dressed for whatever task we're involved in, i.e. you ladies, when you go into the kitchen to bake a cake, I'm sure you at least put an apron on to keep the flour off your nice dress. Yeah? And you'd be silly if you didn't. Us gents, when we go into the garden, hopefully we don't go out in our best clothes, or if we do, we put overalls on, or coveralls, whatever you want to call them, to protect us from the grime and dust and the thorns which we might come across as we are trimming hedges and picking roses for the wife. You know, all the nice things that we do, us gentlemen, because we look after you, don't we? We spoil you girls. I'm getting that on the back. I don't know why, but there you go. As an ex-serviceman, I recognize the importance of not only being properly dressed for the task in hand, but more importantly, to be properly trained in the use of whatever equipment that we're going to need to meet and to complete the task in hand. As you all know, I'm sure, that at one time I was a firefighter. And on a fire engine, people just look, big red vehicle, goes fast, blue lights, makes a noise with the horns going. And they've got hoses of water. But not a lot of people have actually looked inside and see all of the rest of the gear that's in there. There's gear for releasing people from trapped vehicles, cutting cars in bits. You know, there's defibrillators in there for restarting people who've had heart failure due to accidents. There's all sorts of oxygen in there for people who need it after being pulled out of a fire, breathing apparatus for the firefighters so as they can go in and bring people out if need be. You know, but the protection's there, but we need to be trained on how to use it for it to be any use. You can have the best equipment going. If you don't have the training and the knowledge of how to use it, then you might as well not have it. So my opinion and my advice to each of us is to take heed of this bit from Ephesians on the full armour of God and make sure that we don't neglect it and we put it on. As I say, the same equally applies to us in our Christian walk. We need to be properly dressed, properly protected. And we're advised in verse 14 to wear the belt of truth at all times. Why? Because that's the only medicine, the only thing that will combat the wiles of that cunning old fox, the devil. As you read in John chapter 8, verse 44, John points out, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, so we need to be aware what the truth is. And the best place that we can get all of that information for all of the stuff that we go and need to put on in the morning is from the scripture. I suggest it's quite clear that we need to gird up our loins with the belt of truth. It's the best and the only thing that will protect us against the lies of the devil. We also need to wear the breastplate of righteousness to protect us from frontal attacks. Now, I don't know about you, but when you read through that, you notice there is only a breastplate for frontal attacks. There is nothing to protect your back from the backstabber. Yeah, there's nothing there. That's because I believe, as that old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, points out, we should always be moving forward towards the enemy, not running from him, not exposing our back to him. We've got to stand up and face him with faces like flint, as it says in scripture. The next thing we're advised that we need is to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, which will strengthen and remove our fear. You know, it's a wonderful thing, but the only place where you get the gospel of peace, which will strengthen us and remove our fear, is through reading his word and remembering, if God is for us, who can be against us? In our own strength, we are nothing. We are no use. We're as useless as a can of beans without a tin opener. But you know, with the Lord, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And we also need to remember to carry the shield of faith with which we can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, as a fireman, I understand that we need to extinguish arrows because one little arrow, one little spark can start a forest fire. And if we don't nip it in the bud when the evil one comes at us with us and we have fiery arrow, it will burn us up and destroy us completely. Now, I'm sure you'll agree with me that when you belong to the Lord, there will be many occasions when you'll be thankful that you have got that shield of faith to protect you. But don't forget, we also need to put on the helmet of salvation and to be conversant with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These two things, I believe, coupled together, suggest the importance of our knowledge of the Scripture for the use as ammunition against Satan. You know, I'm sure you'll remember that even our Lord Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. I hope we don't put up with it for that long, or don't have to put up with it for that long in a stretch. You know, but how did he cope? He used the Word of God. He used Scripture. And that's what we need to be, have the Scripture in us, so that when he does try to attack us, as he surely will, that we are ready to see him off. The Apostle Paul was well aware of such trials, as he encountered them throughout his ministry. There's no doubt you're well aware, having read all of the stuff that he's done. And I've got just a little bit here to give you a picture. He formed 14 churches during his lifetime. Wow. He wrote letters to 7 churches. Romans to the Corinthians, 1 and 2 chapters in Scripture. To the Galatians, to the Ephesians, from which we've just read this morning. Philippians, the Colossians, and 2 books to the Thessalonians with letters in of how they should be doing. Now, these churches were scattered throughout Asia Minor, Greece, and Rome. And sometimes we find it harder to believe how we manage to keep this little place going week by week. But can you imagine if you had to do all of that traveling and all of the things that he went through? He was both a missionary and a pastor to these churches. He was shipwrecked 3 times. I've been on ships quite a few times, but thank the Lord I've never been shipwrecked. Been in tornadoes and whatnot, but that's nothing. You know the Lord's with you. What do you got to fear? As well as the shipwrecks, he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. And he spent roughly 5.5 years in prison for his faith. And finally, he was put to death as a martyr for his faith. I think it's fair to say, from all the trials he faced, that there's no one better placed to offer us the advice on how to prepare for the battle ahead. We need to thank him for this battle of advice that we can read in Ephesians. But we need to remember that advice is the easiest thing to give, but it's the hardest thing to take, isn't it? We've always been there. We've been given good advice when we were growing up as a child. Shouldn't do that, son. You'll get your hands dirty or you'll tear your trousers doing that. But we go ahead and do it anyway, because we don't take it. And it's only when you get mature that you understand the importance of heeding advice. And as Christians, we need to grow up and heed the advice given by Paul. You know, we need to be alert through prayer for ourselves and for the Lord's people throughout the world. I'm sure we know of missionaries who are out doing the Lord's work in Africa or Asia or wherever throughout the world. We know people in this country. We have friends in foreign countries, maybe emigrated out to Canada, America, New Zealand, Australia, whatever. How often do we remember them in our prayers? Maybe at Christmas or when it's somebody's birthday, or you get a little flash through on Facebook or something like that there. But if you ask people generally how often, if they're honest, they will say, when I feel prompted. And we all do it. Guilty. I'm guilty. You know, if you ask people, go out into the general public and ask them, how do you describe, what is man's best friend? I would say one of the commonest answers you'll get is dog. Their dog. But as usual, man gets everything back to front, doesn't he? That's what my wife tells me anyway. If only they would rearrange those letters, those three letters, and start the first one with a capital G, then they would see and understand that God is the best friend that anyone could ever have. He is the only worth fighting for. So I'm going to leave you with that one question that we started with. Are you battle ready? I hope so. I trust so. I pray so. If you're not, start looking into His Word, building up your strength, and seeing what we need to do to get closer to the image of His beloved Son, which we're called to. I know we'll all get there eventually, but wouldn't it be nice to get part of the way there before the twinkling of the eye and the changing into the likeness of Jesus? So let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for all of the equipment that You provide for us through Your Scripture. Lord, we thank You for Your servants of past who have gone to the trouble of putting it down in ink so that we can read it and learn from it without having to go through some of the terrible ordeals that they did. But Lord, we need Your strength and Your encouragement to not just listen to the advice, but to take action upon it and to install it into our daily walk with You, in the hope of becoming more like Your Son as the days go by. So Lord, I just pray You'll bless us all this week. Forgive us for the times that we have stopped or gone backwards, and help us to remember that we are supposed to be in a walk with You, putting one foot in front of the other. And Lord, it doesn't matter how slowly we're going, as long as we're moving, You are happy with us. There are times when we need to speed up, when You call us to do so. But Lord, help us to just react to Your will, as Your Word says in that lovely prayer that Your Son gave the disciples. Let Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, let us move in Your will and not on our good ideas. Let them be Your ideas. And we ask it all in the precious name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.